Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today we got Planet of the Apes, Google Glass 2, and Comic-Con. What's good, baby? Let's rock.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
You don't like religion, but you like this.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want kids, but you want this.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't never had the juice like this.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live, man. We're all the way live, and I'm with my good peoples, Cheryl Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good to have you on again.
Yes.
I love your takes. I love your perspective on what's happening technologically and socially, culturally. So, yeah. How's life been?
Life has been very interesting and very busy.
Yeah?
I'm kind of winding down, I guess, to come back up. I'm not sure yet. So we'll see.
Indeed. Well, we have a lot of things to cover today. Really have a really diverse slate of topics. We're going to deal with some tech stuff, some geek and popular culture stuff, and I know that you're going to give some great takes on that. But yeah, let's get right into it. Are you a fan or familiar with Elon Musk?
Yes. Actually, I have met him, believe it or not.
You met Elon Musk? Holy smokes. Hold up.
Okay, wait. I don't want to make it seem like I really, really met him, but okay. He did come. I work in a restaurant. He did come into the restaurant, I think, for his sister's birthday.
Wow.
And it was like a group of girls and him, and he didn't stay very long, but I believe he did pay for it. So.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool story. Well, as you know, Elon Musk, very inventive, innovator, and very diverse in a lot of spaces. You know, Tesla, SpaceX, Solar City, a futurist. You know, a guy that's really innovative and developing a lot of stuff technologically and changing, disrupting how we kind of engage with things within the culture. He is saying that we need to be really cautious of how we continue to develop and advance artificial intelligence, because he theorizes that the AIs that we are now tinkering with today might one day be the destructive force of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so there is a science fiction theorist, futurist theory called technological singularity that suggests that when artificial intelligence becomes smart enough to begin to create itself, like it becomes smarter than humans, so smart that it can now make itself even better. So he's saying that we need to have more regulations right now while it's still in kind of its infancy stage. So my question to you is that something that scares you? Is that something that you think we need to be particularly I guess cautious about? Like, what are your takes on that?
I feel like we have been warned about this through movies for years. iRobot always comes to mind.
That's
when
right.
Something like this. There's
Terminator.
No, Terminator's another one,
right.
But I want to call it Machina, but that's not what it is. But the one with the girl robot that changes. We've been knowing we knew this was going to happen. This is something that's not too far away.
Heck no.
And I also think it's actually very interesting that the person who's creating technology is also warning about the technology at the same time. So that's kind of interesting at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that he's such a dominant force in technology, and he's kind of like giving, you know, his warning, like, hey, guys, we need to pay attention to this, because, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves where it's too late, you know, where, hey, these machines are now able to manipulate things that we now can't control. And so, I mean, and do you think that should be regulated by the government, or do you think that should be left up to the developer, the person that's inventing the technology?
Ooh, it's so hard, because the government is just not on good terms with the people right now, and the whole regulation of different things, just like, well, how can we trust the government if the government is not looking out for our best interests? So it's very hard to determine that, but at the same time, you have the developer, like, who's out for the people, is what I'm saying. And so far, there really isn't anyone. Everyone is kind of doing it for themselves, for their own business profit, for their own morality, whatever. But it's just, I don't really know if there is an answer for that. Is there anyone really looking out for the interests of the people?
I have a video for you that might show your opinion a little bit. Here we go. This is a video of Google's. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Check. This is a video of Google Mind's DeepMind AI teaching itself to walk.
Wow.
They gave it precautions and they gave it a figure, and then set it upon obstacle course. And this is how, with a human figure, it walks. And this is how, with a different figure. They gave it three different types. One's a little spider.
Right.
One's like a human type.
Yeah.
But through failing, it reteaches itself.
Wow. It gets better and better over time.
It gets better and better.
Right.
So this one learned how to jump across
That's
so
amazing.
Basically, they don't have to give it any information aside from
figure
like
it
a
out.
Visual.
Right. That's pretty amazing.
I like how its arms are just like flailing.
It's like, wait.
Oh, but, man.
So like the fear is real. If it can teach itself to, if it, let's say somebody gave the AI a task of, hey, here's the current socio-political climate.
Right.
Make this happen.
Right.
And just set it for 5 years to get it done. Like, you don't know what it could do. You
exactly.
know?
The real question is, when is implementation going to happen for humans? Because I know people are going to like, well, how can I be better, stronger, faster, whatever. When is that next process going to happen? Because if the AI can do this already,
right,
it's just a matter of time before they start putting implants into humans. And then
right.
you have superhuman. And then you have all the other side of the movies, that Marvel movies that you have that are happening. So
yeah, I would say that the first major boon of technology is when the internet merged with the telephone, mm-hmm. right? And so because of that, we have a whole different, you know, landscape of how we communicate. And I think the next boon is exactly what you said, when technology merges with the human anatomy. And so that will be interesting, because then we'll have to deal not only with artificial intelligence, we'll have to deal with, you know, beings that are both machine yeah. and human. And so I think it's just interesting, this whole landscape and just where we're, you know, pointing ourselves as a society. And I mean, like, again, a proponent such as big as Elon saying, hey, we should be cautious, I think we should really, really pay attention to.
We should.
But yeah, I want to move on. So, hey, a solar eclipse is about to happen on August 21st.
Yes.
And I don't know if I could recall ever witnessing one, maybe as a kid, I don't remember.
I think the last one was 1979.
Okay, then maybe not. I wasn't born yet. I'm not that old. But anyway, it's supposed to be 70 miles wide.
Yeah.
And it's, the thing is that they're worried about it knocking out the power grid. Huh. So what can we do about that?
I don't know. I think I saw the times for it were, the Eastern times were from 12 p.m. to 4 something p.m.
Right. It's going to be a few hours. Right?
What do you do? Like, what?
I mean, I think it speaks to our dependency on, you know, electricity and, you know, just different forms of energy that really aren't safe, or we have no safety precautions when something outside of our control, like the sun and the moon, cross paths. So I think it's more so us preparing ourselves for that amount of time where it could essentially knock out the power grid. And they're talking about it could sever over 9,000 megawatts of energy, and a lot of the solar energy that we're able to capture, not having the sun for that block of time, is going to, like, pretty much take away energy and power for a lot of homes and businesses. So I think it's just interesting that we're able to see this coming and figure out ways to prepare for it. But there's really nothing we can do other than rev up the way we, I guess, build more grids, more solar energy, more solar power plants and all that stuff, so that when stuff like this does happen, we have more of a storage for it. So what do you think about...
I wonder, though... And it's funny. It's just funny how the world works, type of thing. So you have one thing that happens, and, you know, people react in a certain way.
Right.
But no one. It's, to me, it's the same thing as the environmental issues that we have today. We're basically destroying the Earth. I don't want to say that's so drastic. We're breaking down different parts of the Earth.
Right.
That has been happening for years and years to come. But because it's not happening all at once or in a way that's destroying us for a large block of time,
right,
it's not as important. But for this to come, all of a sudden there's like an outcry, like, we need help, we need to do something.
So you're saying the awareness is not being built when there's not a crisis.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, I think for environmentalists and people that are about having clean energy, like, they're always, you know, being, you know, vocal about that and trying to raise that awareness. But when it starts to affect, you know, business, exactly, the average person, then it's like, oh no, everyone runs for shelter, essentially. But I just think it's kind of cool. I mean, from like a science perspective, that we get to witness this.
Yes.
And then just interesting, like, for our infrastructure conversation, like, how do we harness more solar energy, and how do we build the infrastructures that when we do have, you know, things that are unknown that come into play, like, how are we still able to, you know, operate as a civilization? And so I like these type of stories, because it asks the question, how can we be more innovative, how can we be more creative with the things that we have access to be able to facilitate, you know, the needs of everyone, right?
With that being said, is there not energy that we can also attain from the moon? since that's covering the sun, can we not do the same thing, the solar that we get from the solar that we get from the sun, can we not get the same thing?
We can. They have what's called wave energy, and obviously the moon is what gives us waves, mm-hmm. you know, tides. And so I know in Australia they do this, where they're able to harness the way the waves crash into the shore mm-hmm. as a way to kind of like generate electricity. And so that constant energy and ebb and flow and back and forth of the waves crashing into the shore creates an electrical charge that they're able to capture.
Okay.
And so if we were able to do that on all of our shores throughout the world, we would have more than enough energy. And so that's a great question, a great proposition. It's like, not only can we capture wind energy, solar mm-hmm. energy, you know, obviously fossil fuels, nuclear, but like, let's figure out more creative ways. And that's one creative way that's not often talked about, is the wave energy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, are you a big environmentalist? Like, are you someone that, you know, kind of watches their consumption? And are, like, I know some people don't like to go to Starbucks because of the one usage of cups and straws.
Ooh,
and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm not that extreme.
Okay.
I don't want to say that's extreme either, but I'm not that person. I do try to recycle. I do try to, you know, watch my water and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I wouldn't say that I know everything. But, you know, I try.
Right.
To my own extent.
Right,
it may
right.
not be enough.
Right, right.
It probably is not enough.
But at least you're aware. Yeah. And at least that there's some information that you have that you actually implement in your daily lifestyle. Right? Yeah, obviously, there's always room for improvement.
Right.
But hey, I think that's good that we are, you know, conversing about, you know, figuring out ways to have more sustainable energy so that, you know, the world can benefit from that, not just a few greedy people or a few greedy companies. All right. So I don't know if you were hip to the probe into Google with the alleged gender pay gap.
Mm.
Did you catch that? I think that story dropped maybe like a month or so ago.
Okay.
Where, you know, yeah. the government was probing to see if number one, Google was hiring enough women and people of color, and also then if they were paying women the same amount mm-hmm. that they were paying men. And there's always been in the conversation about, you know, equal pay and how, you know, a woman who's doing the same job as a man does not get paid the same amount.
Yeah.
And so when we cross that conversation over into, you know, Silicon Valley and technology, it's like, so wait a minute, this new company, like, why do we kind of have these old practices? Like, mm-hmm. why is it, you know, dominated mostly, most of these companies are dominated by, you know, men, you know? And why do we continually have to have this conversation about diversification? So they did this probe to see exactly what was happening in the ranks of Google, and 21,000 Google employees, and the probe ran into a snag, and they weren't able to get the information. So do you think Google is hiding something? Do you think they're trying to figure out a way to kind of like prevent the information from going out?
Under the rug, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually am, number one, surprised, because Google seems like such an innovative tech company. And I've looked for jobs on Google and stuff, and they just have like such an environment for you to work there, and this great work-home balanced life. It just seems ideal.
Right.
And when I was reading the article, it's actually so surprising. They just really don't want this to happen, like, at
no,
all.
They don't.
They wanted to shut it down. They're saying that it costs too much money to do this.
Right.
It'll open up their security for all their other employees, and people will be able to gain all this access through
right.
stuff. And I just thought, like, well, why don't you just tell them the information that they want, and then we can be over.
Exactly.
We'll
be done with.
But obviously, there is a
There's
reason
something.
Why.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what, like, again, what's happening, you know, from a micro perspective, looking just at Google as one, a snapshot of Google as one company, and you pull out look at it macroly at what's happening, the whole Silicon Valley and technology industry as a mm-hmm. whole, like, again, like, women and minorities are marginalized, especially in those top executive
right.
you know, decision making positions. So it's like, how do we have more conversation and build more awareness about this? So that's what I want you to kind of like give me your opinion on.
I just think it's really interesting that when it comes to things of the law, people are always screaming innocent until proven guilty. But when it comes to anything related to a company that provides most of the technology for half the world,
right.
let's go ahead and condemn them before anything comes out.
Mm. Hey, that's a good point, too. Mm. That's a great point, too.
I mean, because as a third person, I can tell you've been reading about this, but you're reading only what
they want you to know.
Because, like, honestly, do you really expect a company that's as big as Google and as technologically advanced, do you really think the government can create a probe that won't break down? Like, come on. Like, right. The government can't even get anything.
I know, right?
So, like, oh, the probe broke down? Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Maybe if they had that running AI.
Exactly. It would already be done. I mean, when you look at a company like Uber and what's happened with them within the last year, you know, within the last 6 months, losing, you know, their CEO, Travis Kalanick, and all the salacious things we've heard about, you know, it being a boys' club and how a lot of women have kind of been treated unfairly and disrespectfully, a lot of sexual harassment and all sorts of stuff. And like that stuff doesn't come to surface. I mean, we don't really have an awareness of what's happening until those type of things come to surface. So like a probe like this, I think is good because we want to be able to prevent and mitigate, you know, that type of unfair treatment that's happening within those ranks. And so having kind of like a outside body or source come in and kind of like, hey, what's going on here? Like kind of let's do a report. So be more transparent.
Like, I get that. But at the same time, Uber is not creating the technology of the future. Like, so having the government put in a probe and have access to all of this information, whether it's about the employees or whether it's about the projects they're working on, is a massive breach of what they have to keep secret as their proprietary information. So, like, if I say, okay, the government's doing a probe into Uber, great, they'll learn about freaking cars and, like, picking people up.
But we're not talking about doing a probe about their intellectual property. We're talking about doing a probe about human resources, the statistics between men and women who work there.
It's all tied in together, though, right. Because if you really look at where their employees are working, what are they getting paid to do? What are these people working on? It basically gives the government an index from which to poach talent for government projects.
Yeah, but the probe, from my understanding, doesn't have to deal with the nuts and bolts of what people do. More so, hey, I'm Akili, I work for Google, my job title is this, I make this. Hi, my name is Cheryl, my job title is this, I work at Google, I make this.
But job titles, like, what is your job title? I'm working on Project Deep Dive.
Yes. Great. Right. So. And I see that because that can open up a whole different can of worms where, like you said, the poaching can happen because the government is always looking for someone to help their cause, so to speak. So to find the best hacker, to find the best computers, whatever, just to find the best of the best.
Right.
So if they're looking through all these files and they're saying like, okay, so this person makes this and they do this, we're going to put that, you know, to the side, so that they can. And I feel like that's what Google was saying. Like,
plus, the security is not the same level. You look at Google and you know that they have really high security, right? Let's say we go back to World War II and a government agency decides, hey, let's index the Manhattan Project. So now we have names of all the scientists working on it. We have their addresses. We have all of that. And then what if their security is not of the same level and they get hacked and then you basically are transitive property getting all the employee information?
What would you suggest as the strategy to be able to give the public this type of information? Because I mean, there's been outrage for a number of years now, not more than a decade, as to the diversification of Silicon Valley. So how do we hold these companies accountable if we don't have things of this nature?
I'm not sure the information should be public. I think that public crucifixion based on things like this, like, need to be handled through actual legal means. I don't think they should be handled through, like, hey, public, here, they're the worst company in the world. Like, I don't know. I'm more likely to trust Google in this situation than the government.
No, I agree with you on that one for sure.
That's so sad.
That is sad. That is absolutely correct.
But though, it also should the. It's almost like opening, I want to say, Pandora's box. If we really knew everything that was happening, could we really deal with it and handle all that stuff?
But I don't think we want to know everything that's happening. We just want to know that it's this fairness in the workplace. That's all we want to know. Is there fairness? Is there equality in the workplace? Is there a balance? That's what this probe is about. It's not about anything else other than, hey, you say that you're about diversification. You say you're about helping the world. Well, like, prove it statistically. You have 20,000 plus employees that work there. How many of them are women? How many of them have top executive positions? How many of them make the same amount that men make? To me, those are simple answers. Simple questions with simple answers. Give me a direct answer to that. I don't need to know about what you're developing, what your R&D department looks like. I don't need to know any of that. I just need to know that, hey, we have 50% men that work here, we have 50% women that work here, or whatever the statistic is. And that would be comparable for my standards, because
for my
personal standards. Yes. Yeah, exactly. But I mean you gotta think about kids that are in high school that are being groomed or that have dreams and visions of wanting to be a developer or work for a company like Google. They want to know that it's possible. And so how do you know it's possible unless you can see that, okay, this company is absolutely a diverse company and is inclusive of all.
So you just want representation for all.
100%. And I think that's what the argument is. But I get it though. I get your point for sure, Steven.
I think my point is that Google is one of the largest hirees of people out of college getting these degrees and actually developing new talent in this space. So, like, even if this comes out and nothing's wrong, it only serves to damn them through the process. Because even you going into this conversation, let's say it comes out and they are very diverse, they are equality and all that, you've already created a social negative stigma towards them with all of these articles building up towards
it. I have to disagree with that statement, because if you look at corporations historically, like, if we don't have the people's foot to the fire, there will be no accountability. And these companies, yeah, are changing the world, and we are a part of the world. And so we have to know that this company is working in our best interest. Or they could say, yeah, we are, and it's not really like that. If there's no pressure applied, and that you could deal with any type of movement in this country, from civil rights to everything, if there's no pressure applied, you will never get the information. You get the masquerade. You get the false information. You get whatever they're promoting. So I like the fact that there's a probe. I like the fact that it's public. And I think that companies should have a degree of social responsibility and be transparent and show the people what they say they're really about. That, and I mean, we keep going in circles with it, but that's my position. Like, and especially, you know, and moving on to this next story, especially now too, to your point, Stephen, we're like in this hacking landscape, yes, right? We're in a hacking environment, mm-hmm, where people's information is not protected. You know, there's like a company every other week that gets hacked, and you know, people lose their information. And so IBM wants to create, you know, a product that will help encrypt the whole entire world. And so they are saying that they have this new breakthrough technology with their security system that will allow every business, from banks to retailers to travel booking companies, to encrypt their customer data on a massive scale. And so I guess with the whole encryption process, it turns the information into gibberish, so that if someone came to retrieve that information or hack that information, they don't know what it is, because it's all, you know, mangled and tangled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming up with a new software or new technology that will help do that way more seamlessly. And so do you think that that is something that will be easily adopted? Do you think that IBM is the company to do it? Yeah, that's kind of what I want to see from your perspective. I mean,
so it's not that they have created a new encryption program, it's just they're making it faster for it to happen on a bigger scale. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what it's. They have new hardware that will go into computers, and they also have new software that they're developing that will help scramble the information on your computer.
I wonder if it's more, so this is more to me sounding for big businesses. It's not for something that's local or someone who's starting off, because I think I read that it costs like $500,000.
Oh, yeah, it's pricey.
To just get started.
Right.
Without all the other packages, so to speak. That's such a taboo thing when you have, because it sounds like a little bit like a monopoly. You have this one company who has all this power to create, to do something. And so it's like, okay, so what are you going to do with this? How do we ensure security, you know, that this information that you're getting is not going to get out, you know, from your company?
Right.
It's just, it's so many levels of it. It goes back to, like, who knows who's protecting who type of thing. So, yes, they're doing it. I understand. I like the idea of being protected. I've had my credit card taken away, like, a gazillion times.
Holy smokes.
And had to, you know, get a new card and everything like that. But it's just, I really wonder how effective it will be.
I mean, I think the more we hear about these stories, and I think it's highly saturated now. I mean, like I said, it's almost every other week we hear about some type of hack somewhere in the world, and especially what's going on, you know, internationally with Russia and, you know, North Korea and even China to that extent. Like, we're in kind of like a internet computer type of style cyber warfare, you know. And so to be able to have, you know, something to mitigate that on you know, like you said, a large scale, even to a smaller scale, I think is effective. And I think a lot of these companies already have some form of protection. They already have some form of encryption. But the fact that IBM is saying, hey, we've developed this further, and we want to develop this further to make sure that it's more seamless, mm-hmm. and to make it much more harder, much more difficult for hackers, you know, to get your information. Because I believe that whatever you create, someone's going to come through and, you know, figure out a way to trump that. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel it's going to be an ebb and flow of that forever.
I also wonder, because I was reading this article and I read through the comments, and someone said, please do not sell this to Trump because he'll give it to the Russians. But it makes me wonder, like, I wonder if these companies also have side deals. You know, the government, I don't want to say it, but, you know, they create the good and the bad, so right. to speak. So, you know, we have a war and, you know, they will create the fear for the Americans, so to speak. And right. then they'll also create, you know, the ammunition for the other side. So I sometimes wonder, like, with these tech companies, they say, you know, we're going to protect you at the same time. Do they have side deals saying, like, you know, we're just going to send a little bit out to create the fear for people to buy it?
I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, I know that's a super, like, conspiracy theorist, but I mean, hey, like, that is not beyond, you know, the realms of possibility. Like, I mean, I'm sure that that has happened before, and I'm sure that it will happen again.
You just got to be careful. I don't want to say you even have to be careful. You just have to understand that whatever you're putting out there, it's just going to be out there. Right. I don't even think there really is a protection to protect you. So you either want it to get out or you don't.
Yeah, yeah. I want to shift gears. Were you ever a fan of Google Glass?
I know about it. I knew someone who had it.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It didn't seem to blow up or anything. Right.
Well, yeah, they have developed Google Glass 2. Uh-huh. And so a lot of the problems from the first iteration of Google Glass was that it was very, it kind of disrupted people's privacy, because you would have these glasses on that had a camera and you couldn't tell if someone was recording you or not. And so there was tons of examples of people that, you know, even got into fights. There was like one brawl in San Francisco where I think a woman was being recorded, and I think she was not happy, and they got into a fight about it. Another example was someone brought the Google Glass into a movie theater and was recording the movie. So all these examples of, and also, of course, they didn't really look too fashionable and cool. So all these stories were kind of happening, and, you know, just a whirlwind of bad press. And so the company decided to kind of can Google Glass, but they brought it back, and it's not open for consumers now. Is only open for it's B2B, it's for businesses, for only for enterprise usages only. But what do you think about, you know, it being used in a business sense for people that are developers or people that are, you know, trying to figure out, you know, different ways for their app or their software to be mm-hmm. able to use the Google Glass and be able to enhance what they're creating? You think that Google is making a good move to kind of like give it more life?
I like it, actually. I am a visual learner, so the idea of being able to see or to have it come down and you're, you know, applying that way, and then you can have your hands free to do other stuff. Like, right. I understand that I can work in that way, and if right. it makes you more effective and faster, then
heck yeah,
that's why.
So they developed it out. The second iteration is way better, obviously, than the first. It's much faster, has a longer battery. They bumped up the camera from 5 megapixels to 8 megapixels. Mm-hmm. And now, thank goodness, they put like a red light. So like when you are actually recording, right. like it's a red light. So it signals to the person or the thing that you're recording that
now.
You're on camera. I think that was a huge slip up from before. And also they've made it modular so that you can actually attach it to like prescription glasses, sunglasses mm-hmm. or whatever. So I think that's kind of fresh. And the price point on it, though, it's $1,500, which I believe the first one was around there. Do you think that's a hefty price for a business?
I don't. Okay. When I saw that, I said, Well, when I first, you know, it was for businesses. But then I thought, like, I probably would have invested in something
right. So not for a business. Is this something that you would invest as a consumer?
I would think about it. I'm not going to lie.
You ain't wearing that. Stop it.
I don't know. Like, I just, you know, I think for me, like, with whole, for producing stuff like that, yeah. I would love to see that kind of on the screen and just kind of like, right. okay, instead of holding all these notes and papers right. and stuff like that, it would be very interesting to see how that would work in that climate.
Mm. Well, I mean, hey, we are definitely in the landscape of wearables when we talk about Fitbits and, you know, Apple Watches and all that stuff. And now, even now, moving into phones that are able to provide like a holographic image, a 3D image, you know, kind of what we saw in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And so I think having something that like that, you know, I think that we'll continue to have more developments in that, in this area, might be something that, you know, comes that's, like you talked about earlier, that's, that mixes with your biology, that's something that's implanted in your skin that's able to project something or whatever. But I mean, I think having the glass, I mean, I think the next pathway is to be able to have the contact, right?
Yeah.
So now you're able to see all these things in your contacts or whatever.
See, and then it just gets too weird after that.
Why?
You know, it's just, I feel like it just detaches you from the real world. And that was my next comment. You know, as a consumer, if I were to consume the glasses, it's just like, I just don't want to be separated from reality. I don't want to be so engaged in like what's happening on my screen that I forget to see the person next to me, type of thing.
Gotcha. So do you think that, I mean, we kind of already in that era with our smartphones?
Yes.
I mean, because you see people, there's tons of like funny videos of people walking around and they fall and crash because they're so immersed in their smartphone. Or like you go to dinner and everyone's on their smartphone.
Yes.
I mean, we kind of
it's
already
terrible.
Reached that, right? All right, well, moving on. Streaming. Are you a Netflix subscriber?
Yes.
Okay. You said that with, like, enthusiasm. Like,
oh,
let's go.
Yes.
Well, anyway, they have cleared more than 100 million subscribers. Kudos to Netflix. They are killing it. Mm-hmm. They added more than 5 million new subscribers in the second quarter of this year, and they beat what they forecasted for both domestic and international customers. Mm. Interesting fact. More than half of Netflix subscribers are internationally based, and then obviously the other half are domestic. But they are killing it with, you know, obviously, you know,
the great original programming,
their acquisitions, like the technology, everything, like, and they're really killing the linear watching, television watching that we were all accustomed to as we were growing up, to now this time shifting non-linear programming. And I think Netflix was the first to really do it, but obviously you have Hulu, you have Amazon,
you have other
HBO,
small little ones as well,
YouTube.
Yeah,
exactly. So do you think that Netflix will continue to scale and grow in size, or do you think they'll reach a point where they kind of like flatten off?
It is amazing to see Netflix go from the mail-in DVDs to like this conglomerate that it has become.
Right.
I think there is, I don't want to say no, I'll say it. I don't think there's no stopping Netflix. I think they have the innovative technology and the creativity to make new stuff, to make a new world, so to speak.
Wow.
I believe in them. I believe in their philosophy, and I just think that they are on the right path to a different type of TV watching.
And think about, I mean, you're absolutely right. And think about, like you said, the original content and original programming. They got 91 nominations this year for the Emmys.
Only second
to HBO, which got, I think, like 111.
Yeah.
So they're well ahead of Hulu, which only got 18, and Amazon only got 16. But man, 91 nominations. That says a lot. Like, you're almost about to topple HBO that's been in the game for twice as long, you know?
I think it actually, but see, I think a little healthy competition helps people grow. So HBO was kind of doing okay before, but now they're kind of coming back up again.
Right.
I think because of the competition that is out there, and it just helps every other networkers grow. They're just trying to figure out how can we do better.
Right.
If you don't have that competition, you'll always kind of be stagnant because you have nothing else to go up against. So
excellent point.
I think it's great.
So let me run this to you, or run this by you. So obviously we have, you know, three different types of people: people that have cable subscriptions, mm-hmm. people that have cut the cord, and people that have never had cable subscription cord never. So cord cutters, cord nevers, and still the corded. Mm. So do you think that you will cut the cord?
I've already cut
the cord.
I haven't had a cord in like 15. No. I'm
Wait, so you don't have cable at all?
I don't have cable.
Okay.
I only have online stuff. I do it through like my Chromecast, or I'll do the Roku or whatever. People have Apple TV, Amazon, whatever.
Wow.
But there's a certain part of me that misses regular programming and how it's done. I do sometimes miss that, but for the most part, I haven't had, at least for 5 years, I have not had cable.
That's awesome. And you've done just fine.
Yes.
But you said it's been hard
when it comes to certain network stuff, especially when it comes to football sports and stuff like that. It's a little bit harder to kind of figure that out, but I am perfectly happy because I can find this. I can still find the shows. But like I said, there's a sometimes finding out about new stuff, the commercials and things like that. I do slightly miss that.
I mean, but what about YouTube? You can just go to YouTube for that.
Yeah. I haven't explored YouTube. I haven't explored it, so I don't really know.
Gotcha. So wait, what are your main acquisitions for streaming?
I use Netflix, Hulu, and some other stuff I'd rather not.
All right, I'm going to encrypt my computer. this hacker over here. Well, anyway, before we go on to our next story, I want to bring you this, which is brought to you by our friends at DICE. And DICE is a leading tech career hub. They're the champion for technology professionals, and they're the citizen of the tech community. Over 70,000 tech jobs on DICE, and it's the best place to be seen and heard. And if you're it's really an advocate for technology professionals as they navigate their careers, and it helps to arm them with tools to achieve their potential. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to ask yourself, are you getting paid like what you're really worth? And you got to discover, you go to DICE and you discover what your skills are, and you go to the mobile app. And what it does, it pretty much gives you these salary estimates based on your specific skill set and location. And then it can shed light on what skills you need to further enhance and develop to help, expand and increase your earning potential. And so I think DICE is an amazing company. It's been connecting tech pros with job opportunities for over 20 years. They deliver tools and resources you need to manage your career. Like I said, over 70,000 tech jobs ranging from software development to UX project management, the whole range. Tremendous amounts of insights from around the job market and skills that are hot, and they actually give you information about which kind of like jobs are and skills are cooling off. So great information to help you navigate your career. They give you salary reports and tools to help you fully understand how you stack up, how you compete with other people in the same industry. But yeah, DICE is the advocate for helping to navigate your career. And whether that means you finding your next job or getting your next pay raise or informing your next career move, DICE is the place to be. So I want you all to go learn more at dice.com/canyouhackit. Once again, that's dice.com/canyouhackit. Hack your career with DICE.
Good for all markets.
Right?
That sounds great.
Yeah, DICE is the business. So have you gotten the chance to see a few movies this summer?
Depends on the movies that we're talking about.
Spider-Man?
I have not seen it.
Okay.
Planet of the Apes. And I heard it's really good.
Oh, I've seen it's great.
Really?
It's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
I heard it's the best one.
Yeah, it is. Without question. Planet of the Apes?
Nope.
Okay. Well, Planet of the Apes, 20th Century Fox's IP, actually toppled Spider-Man in its weekend debut. I believe the movie cost about $150 million to make, and the first weekend, it brought in $54 million, which is pretty incredible.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm pretty geeked to see this movie. Have you seen the first first two? I mean, of the new iteration?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you a fan of the Apes?
I will watch it. I won't say I'm a fan, but
why
I
not?
Will watch it. I just, that's just something.
Something. Sorry, hey, you like some things, or you don't like some things.
I like the story of it, but okay. I can't say that I'm, 100% following it on all my social media sites. It's not that hardcore.
Got you. Did you hear any of the commentary with Whoopi Goldberg surrounding the movie? Okay, we won't get into that.
What?
We won't get into that. We'll talk about that offline.
Oh, wait. But the guy was her. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so she was referring back that it was from the original and it was nothing racial. And yeah, I did see that. And she's right.
She was accurate. Absolutely.
It's funny how we jump to conclusions without actually reaching back to all
historically,
the facts.
Historically, right? Yeah. And I think that's important, when we give critique or criticism of things, that we actually look at the history and we do our due diligence and research and not be so reactionary and emotional about kind of about what we're seeing. So I think I get the parallels, and some of these things have been done in film where we feel like we've been kind of like trivialized and manipulated. And so I get there, that it, there could be a hypersensitivity to it, but we still have to be rooted in knowledge and information before we go out publicly with you know, making statements like, hey, don't go see this movie because they're mocking Black Lives Matter movement or whatever. So
I think it's funny because it's kind of about, like, what the movie is about, your different perspectives right. of things. So it kind of all ties in together, which is probably another reason why you should probably go see the movie.
That's right.
Is to see the whole understanding of that.
That's
of
absolutely
human perspective
right.
and what people think, opinions. It's the same thing.
That's absolutely correct. Good point. So, hey, a couple days, Comic-Con will be upon us.
And no, isn't it not
well,
now?
Well, it starts today.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, the main
yeah.
stuff happens, you know, on the weekend. But have you been?
I have not been. I tried to put an alert to get to tickets. I did not get it. I'm so sad.
Okay, well, you definitely have to go. I've been a few times. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, especially if you're in the space of popular culture and movies and television and just comics, like, it's really fun. Like, it's just a crazy experience. And I mean, everyone goes, like, you know.
Did you dress up?
No, I didn't dress up. I was there working.
Okay.
So I don't think that if I was not working, that I would be the guy that dressed up. But hey, to each his own. Like, I love the people that take it serious and are hardcore, and they have mm-hmm. some really outrageous costuming, and it looks like it's from a replica
Rosa,
page.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that part is really amazing, just to see, like, the fanfare and how far people will go to kind of, like, be out. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that converge on, you know, in downtown San Diego, and essentially
I heard like 130,000, and they're expecting.
Yeah, it's up there. But it's a lot of cool stuff that's going to be there this year. So I kind of want to do like a thumbs up, thumbs down with you to see kind of what things that you
would be
interested in. So first off, there's no big Star Wars panel this year, which is kind of surprising because The Last Jedi is about to drop and also the Han Solo movie. But Blade Runner, are you a fan?
I am. I'm interested to see how they do this, how they recreate it. I am very interested to see that.
Okay. Harrison Ford fan?
Yeah.
Okay. Justice League.
Okay, so when we start getting into the whole, like, comics.
Oh, no.
I know. The DCs and the Marvels and the competition between them. I would go see it, but I am not a diehard.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Did you see Wonder Woman?
I did, which I thought was amazing. Okay. And I just wanted to say that how it's still number 6.
Thank you.
And it's 7 weeks.
Thank you. Let's go.
That's amazing.
So, absolutely.
That was... Oh, I love that movie.
Batman versus Superman?
Oh. Why would you bring that up?
I'm just checking your temperature. I'm just seeing where you at. Okay. The Lego movie. Come on, you be first in line.
Half and half. You know, okay. Take my nieces.
All right. I agree with that. Atomic Blonde?
I am a fan.
I think it's going to be fresh.
Yeah, and the work that she's done, oh my gosh, like, oh, that's so hardcore. I want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's so hardcore.
So 20th Century Fox, and so a lot, I don't know if you know, but a lot of the big movie releases and television releases are done in what they call, it's done in the Hall H. It's like the big reveal convention hall.
Okay.
And so a lot of them are panels, a lot of them are big events. Sometimes they have people come out and perform. It's just a big hoopla to kind of bring hype to the
movie.
Making
me excited now. Exactly. Like, I want to be there. Okay.
So 20th Century Fox is dropping Kingsman. Are you a fan of that?
Yes.
Okay. And Deadpool 2.
I would like to see that. Deadpool 1
was awesome, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Marvel is going to be doing, obviously, Black Panther. I know you're geek for that.
Ooh.
Let's go.
What about
the new Thor?
Thor, I didn't see the first one. Okay, and you know what? My little cousin, or he's not little anymore. My cousin would have a fit at this whole conversation. Like, he is the biggest comic book DC, Marvel, whatever.
Gosh.
He puts on shirts to watch it. Like, he's just, I know. But
hey.
I heard it was good.
Okay. All love. Let's move into some of the TV reveals. There's obviously Star Trek Discovery, which is coming on CBS All Access. They're going to be doing some stuff at Comic-Con. Are you excited about that?
I wonder how they're going to do this one. Each Star Trek is different. Each cast is different. So
let's go.
I want to see this other new generation happens. I want to see how they do that.
I mean, were you a fan of Star Trek coming up as a kid?
Only certain versions, not all of it.
Okay. Next generation.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. I mean, it makes sense for, you know, for the age that you're in. So yeah. I get it. Were you ever a fan of The Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay.
And I heard it's amazing too.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
Well, they're just trying to have some synergy with the Star Trek, and so that's a CBS property, and so there might be some type of weird thing that they do.
They're probably super geeked.
Exactly. And so ABC, you have Marvel's Inhumans coming to screen. You have Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. Fox is dropping another Marvel project called The Gifted, which I actually helped to work on.
I want to see that. I read the story behind that. I would like to see that. It reminds me of X-Men-ish.
It's very cool. It's super cool. It's exactly that. You have Ghosted also in The Orville from Fox. Mm-hmm. Family Guy, and obviously The Simpsons doing their thing, and then FX. You have The Strain. Are you familiar with The Strain?
Mm.
A little sci-fi situation.
I need to write these down.
I know. These are some decent properties. CW. You have The Black Lightning. They're doing some stuff.
So that one I want to see.
Really?
Only because I'm trying to get my mentor, hopefully.
Oh no.
Mark Hill.
Oh no. Oh no.
But I just really would like to see how they, because they're moving now from from her other show, Mary Jane, to this, her
right.
The production company with her and her husband. So I would kind of like to see how they do this one.
Awesome. That's super cool. And a lot of other stuff. Like, it's not just the majors that come to play at Comic-Con. You have some minors too. You have some more smaller stuff that's happening. And I mean, overall, I think like we're in a landscape of incredible content. Like, it's the renaissance of television industry. I mean, Netflix is about to drop Stranger Things, which I know you're geeked about.
Mm,
and they're about to do some crazy stuff at Comic-Con for that.
I just want to also hear about Westworld. Like, what are we doing?
Right, right.
2018, let's go.
Netflix is also about to do The Defenders, which is another Marvel property as well. Did you watch all of the Marvel iterations on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say,
it's
man,
an exciting time for television.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Oh,
it just dropped last Sunday, and then like you said, Westworld for HBO as well. Preacher for AMC, and obviously The Walking Dead is always has a big presence at Comic-Con.
Yep.
Orphan Black on BBC. Mr. Robot, USA. I think that's a great show as well. Just everyone's there. Like, it's just a huge fanfare. I mean, anything that you could be possibly interested in will be there at Comic-Con, and there'll be some type of reveal, some type of big celebration for us. So
and it ties
I
back
wish you could
in
go.
Into, I do too. But it ties back into the whole technology thing of the AI stuff and, you know, implementing and encrypting, and it's just every, like, we've been warned about it, and it still continues on.
Right.
So when we go back to Elon Musk, it's just like, maybe we should take heed a little bit, because we've been talking about it and it's just only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's an epidemic almost.
An epidemic. I hear you. I mean, I feel like sometimes it's hard to be aware of what's happening in the time and place that you're in, because as humans, we have some degree of imperceptibility. It's hard to see. Like, we see things kind of in slow motion. We think that things are changing. We think that things aren't changing, but they really are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not aware and cautious, like, it might come to a tipping point where it's too late to be able to do things. So, but I think in terms of television, movies, content, like, man, we are in the best time
yes.
to... for storytelling and for, you know, people to be creative. So I think it's awesome to be able to witness this and experience it and have fun with it, and it's great. So before we get out of here, kind of tell me about, catch me up on some projects that you're working on and what you've been doing since the last time you were here.
This, like I said, this is my little break time. I had helped produce a couple of shows, like a 5-minute, 10-minute variety type show, and I actually produced my own 30-minute history show.
Let's go.
It was
Let's
very,
go!
The whole thing was a great big learning experience, and
that's awesome.
I have learned a lot. So that is something that I'm trying to keep doing, keep creating, keep writing.
And producing right.
and things like that. So
that's
we'll
awesome.
See
how
that
off
will
to
bring
you.
Me. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. And where can the folks find you and find the things that you're working on?
Ooh. I don't know if I want to give that out yet. Well, you can always find me on my social media pages, Little Miss C at Twitter, as well as on Instagram, LILMIZC on Instagram. But there's stuff on YouTube under me. There's stuff under, I think, LACC TV. There's stuff under there. So
awesome.
I have to find it.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. As always, it's a pleasure. I love your takes, and I wish you much success in your endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Your future plans and plots. But yeah, that wraps it up for us today. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. And we will see you guys next week. Geek Nerd Tech, baby.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.